Tonight we have the extraordinary privilege of having our dear friend Larry Mills with us, Larry and Laura. Larry's brought his daughter Laura along, and we are going to, he's going to bring the word and tell us about what's going on in their lives and all of that. I wanted to, because some of you are guests with us, I wanted to just give a little bit of background and why Larry is with us tonight. In 2016, I made a trip, was connected with Larry, and so we just adopted him and the call of God and everything that he's doing there, and we have become supporters of his work there. And out of this house, there's been all kinds of books translated and many things done for the kingdom. And so he has been here many times. I have been there many times. And so tonight, they're with us again and are going to share what the Lord is doing. Come, brother.
Hallelujah. It's good to see you all again, see many familiar faces. We're always, always blessed to come here and look forward to it. My wife, Kay, was not able to be with us tonight. She left us, deserted us like 5 days ago, like Paul or Mark did, you know, Paul and Barnabas. But anyway, no, she didn't do that. But our baby girl is having a baby girl. And so she wanted to be there when the baby came. She hasn't come yet, but any day now, we're waiting and excited for our 9th grandchild to be born. Hallelujah. And so I want to say just thank you for Pastors Sid and all of you for opening your hearts and allowing us to come here and share God's word with you. You've been so good to us. I love staying at Pastor Sidney's house with Jen and the kids. They treat us like royalty, and they're like family to us. Amen? Adele there, she's really special. Amen. But I have grandchildren, and when I came back, we came back a month earlier than we had planned because of what happened with this big earthquake. We lost everything. I mean, we've lost our house, our home there. We lost our church, our coffee house. But we came home early, and because I needed a break. It was rough those last 3 or 4 weeks. We spent time with our families, and we learned that through surviving this quake and what we had gone through, that we are so much more thankful for our lives, just to be able to survive what we went through. And then to count dear, you know, those relationships, family, so important now. And, you know, I went camping with all my grandkids and all my children, my 4 daughters and 3 son-in-laws. It was cold, man. I was sleeping in a tent, and it wasn't a fun thing in those tents with the freezing weather. But I loved the time I had around the campfires with my grandchildren. You know, there's not enough words to say how awesome that is, and so I'd do it again. And so family, you know, we need to make sure we count our relationships and family dear. It's so important. Amen. I feel myself a very wealthy man because, and all my family are serving the Lord today and some capacity. My daughter, who's giving birth to their first child, is married to Nathan Dom, who's the state senator from Oklahoma. And what a man of God. And we're so excited to have a man of God like that serving in the way he does in the government. And we need more like that. Amen. And so my daughter Laura's with us. Laura, she is my right hand. She has taken our ministry to a whole new level in these last 3 or 4 years. But we've been serving the Lord for most of the last 36 years. There were a few years we were in other places, but for the most of the last 36 years, we started 36 years ago. It's been an honor and a blessing to serve the Lord. And even though we haven't seen the explosive fruit that we long for and have believed for, that day is coming, and we have not let go of that. Hallelujah. And I feel like it's getting more and more exciting because we're moving into that time, that season, where I believe God is going to bring in a great harvest. And I believe it's time for God to wrap this thing up because we all know what's holding the end from coming. It's the gospel going to all nations. Amen? And we've been sowing, we've been praying, we've been believing God. Amen? And He's given us things to do that we believe are effective. One of them is finding good faith-building books and translating them. And we've had help from people in this church on whole projects, just sponsor whole projects. And it's been amazing. We've done like 20-something books. The most recent book that we've done is this book called In Search of Timothy, and by Tony Cook, great Bible teacher, and a great book to help pastors raise up supportive ministries in their churches and leaders. And also, there's 14 lessons that coincide with this in video by Tony Cook that we just completed professional dubbing and are able to make available to all the pastors. So God's doing some great things. Prayer makes a difference. I believe I'm here today, survived an earthquake because of the prayers of God's people. Every person, we mentioned this in the video we're going to show you, but every person in our church survived. And it's a miracle. If you'd see their houses, you'd know what a miracle that is. Many of their houses were completely destroyed, flattened, but they got out. And I would say everybody who's connected with us, even, you know, our butcher, our barber, our carpenter, our electrician, we use the same people all the time. Every single one of them survived. And I believe it has everything to do with covenant. Our covenant with God and the protection that comes through that covenant. Hallelujah. And so we rejoice. Amen. Even though I've seen that video many times, it's very difficult for me. You know, everyone in our church has a story, but most of them lost everything. A couple businessmen in our church described to me, you know, how that they had nothing. I mean, their home, their business, there was no insurance. They don't have insurance like we have here. And all they had, some of them, was just a shirt on their back. What do you do in life? In a matter of moments, everything changes. Everything. And I understand better what Hebrews chapter 12 talks about when it says, once more and I'll shake heaven and earth. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. Amen? And it is a wake-up call for us. Amen? What matters in life? At the end of your life, when you look back, what is it that's going to be precious that you can look back and say, that's what I did. That's what I was part of. I helped others understand. I helped others come to Christ. I've helped people get their lives turned around. Hallelujah. There's nothing greater than that. Not how much did I accrue, my wealth, my things. You follow me? And so when we go back, we've been carrying a vision in our hearts for many years to have our own conference center. And have not just one a year, but year round. And raise up and train leaders that can get involved with church planting movements and just, you know, turn the nation around. Hallelujah. It's happened in other nations. We've seen it in places like South Korea and even some of the old Soviet republics. And God has shaken and turned things around, but it was the gospel. It wasn't our bombs and our guns and in these things. It was the word of God that penetrated the hearts of men. I remember that last scene in Titanic, and I may have shared it here before, but it so impacted my life when it first came out years ago. I was in the cinema, and that last scene, many of you might remember when that Titanic that was supposed to be the unsinkable ship, and they were trying to call for help, and it was too far away to get there in time to save the people, and there was not enough lifeboats because they thought the ship would never sink, and so they put women and children in first, and then there was all this chaos and noise, and that ship goes up perpendicular and then just quickly goes under the water, and there's this eerie silence. And all you could hear was the faint cry of people, help me, help me. But there was no help. And you knew there was only a moment of time before they would die and perish. And I remember that hitting me about what we were there for. And I'm thinking about people back home telling me, Larry, you need to come home. It's dangerous over there for you. You need to come back here. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? There's not enough boats. There's not enough help. And God's called us to build boats and help. Amen? And so I could never do it on my own, what we're doing right now and what we want to do in the future. God has to mobilize an army of people, of His people. Amen? So when you give and when you pray, that's what that is. It's Him mobilizing that army. Hallelujah. So that we can be effective in bringing in this end time harvest so Jesus can come back. Amen? There's people crying out. And I'm telling you, hearts are open more than they've ever been before. And we've carried it in our hearts for years to have our own conference center. And we're going to go back. And I'm believing God this year. We had already decided before the earthquake, this year we were breaking ground. We were going to buy our own land and we were going to build our own conference center. And so we could have people from all over the Middle East come and have times of refreshing in the presence of God. They need it. And also to be equipped and trained in the Word of God and the things of God. Amen? And so I'm believing by July we'll have the first amount of $500,000 that we need to get land and do a feasibility study so that we can launch our phases of building. Amen? And so believe with me, we're going to buy our land and begin building our conference center. Amen? Can you agree with us for that? And we have these cards for anybody who would like to help us. We're about halfway, almost halfway. We're like at $215,000 right now. And we've still got 2 months. May, June, yeah. So these dark background cards says, you can help us build, rebuild. So this also helps us in the rebuilding process of going back with the church and stuff. So if you would be interested, please pick up one of these cards. And on the back is a QR code also. And help us. Amen. If you give $20, hallelujah. If you give $20,000, hallelujah. Amen. Every seed counts. It's that army that God's mobilizing to make it happen. Amen. There's nothing else like it. I'm telling you, nothing in the whole nation. But there will be in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk tonight about God's glory. I believe God's glory, God's presence is key in our lives. But I don't believe that we've known His glory or His presence at the level they did in the Bible, in the New Testament. But I believe we're supposed to and we're going to in Jesus' name. And so tonight, I just want to take some time and share with you about getting God's glory back into the house. I love that song. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Amen. What house? The house of God. You know, in the Old Testament, another name for the temple of God was the house of God. And today, because of Jesus, and because we've surrendered our lives to Him and follow Him, we are the house of the Lord today. We're the house that God chooses to live in. I am the house of God. You're the house of God. Amen. We are the house of God. I love the scriptures like 1 Peter 2:5 that says, you are being built up a spiritual house. Amen. And then Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We are the house of God. We are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians, many of you are familiar with chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Hallelujah. And in chapter 3, many believe that he's talking about the body of Christ as a whole, every believer together as the temple of God. But when you get to chapter 6, verse 19, he's referring to individual members. Every one of us who know Jesus are the temple of God, the house of God, as individuals, as believers. In 2 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Amen? Now, because we understand this revelation, that we who are born again are the temple of the living God, we can go back. And many things we read about in the Old Testament about the tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple, it brings light to us, hallelujah, of God's ultimate plan and desire for every one of us. That is to be the dwelling place of His presence. You were created to be the dwelling place of God's presence, of His glory. You want to know what your purpose is? It's to house the glory of God and the presence of God. Amen. I'm going to show it to you more clearly as we go on here. In our minds, as we make these connections, we've come to realize that the glory of God, the presence of God, is our home. It's home for us. Amen. We were built, we were wired, you could say, for this. Every one of us were created to be the house of God, to house His glory. And I want to just insert something here. This is free. I won't charge you for this one. But here, I've heard preachers and teachers making a big mistake of not making the main thing the main thing. And what do I mean by that? You know, I've heard teachers teaching things like this: God's biggest desire is to get His authority back to us. Or this one: what God's trying to restore, what man lost in the garden, was His dominion. And even though it's subtle, you get off track chasing those kind of things. Those are fruit of the main thing. They're not the main thing. They're fruit of the main thing. I often ask the question to our church that they all know the answer to now. I actually put it in a statement: there's only one thing that God wants from you. And then ask them, what is it? There's only one thing. Think about this for a minute. There's only one thing that God wants from you. One thing. I asked this question in a pastor's meeting in November in Istanbul. And all these pastors were given different answers, and only one pastor got the answer right. I was shocked. What is it that God's looking for? What is it that He wants from you? God desires your heart, your love. It's what He's always been after. We make it about so many other things. I remember back in an old little Pentecostal church I attended over 40 years ago. I know I don't look that old. Over 40 years ago in a little Pentecostal church in downtown Akron, Ohio, called Faith Temple. We used to sing this song: I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Amen? You know, anybody know that song? There's, you do? Wow. We got some older people here. Now you won't raise their hand. Older, I didn't say old. But really, the war of the enemy against us is primarily a war for our attention, for our affections. His goal is that He wants to dilute or defile your affections. It's what He's always been after. He wants to divert your attention, your attention, and direct your affections on anything other than God. What is it that you love? James 4, very clear. He says to the church, James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking to the church. And he said, do you not know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. This is so important, especially for our young people to understand. I'm trying to help you see this. There's a better life. And it's not friendship with the world or the things of the world. However great they may make it look like, it's not the way to go. It's the enemy working against you to steal your heart from where it belongs and where it should be going. Amen? I love the story of Abraham's life. Abraham, great example for us. Everywhere that man went, he was building altars. You read through the Old Testament about Abraham. Everywhere he went, he's building altars. Why? Because worship was central. It was the core. It was everything to him. Worshiping God, loving God. That's what our worship is here. Amen? And it needs to be central to us. Setting our heart, setting our affections on Him is the foundation and the starting point for everything else in our lives. So that was my side journey. Back to the temple. Amen? But that's important to get. You have to get that or you won't get the rest. Amen? You know, God instructed Moses how to build a tabernacle, which was mobile. It moved with the people, but it was exactly, he had to build it exactly the way God showed him. And David and Solomon were also told by God, build the temple, which was more permanent, exactly how they were shown by God. Amen? Why? Why was it so important? And they were very similar in their structures, in the furnishings and everything. Why was it so important? Because the very structure of that tabernacle and that temple and its furnishings were to reveal and show us today who we are and what God made us to be. And tonight, we're just going to look at one aspect, the basic view and the structure of the tabernacle and the temple, because I want you to see something here that's so powerful and so important. Amen? The tabernacle and the temple had three parts. There was the outer courts, and then in the outer courts was a place called the holy place. And inside the holy place, it's kind of like those Russian dolls inside of each other, you know. Inside the holy place was the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, and that's where God's presence dwelt. Amen? Now, what's the parallel today? That you and I are the temple of God. We just read that, didn't we? And we're also three parts, aren't we? We're spirit, soul, and body. We could look at scriptures. That's not our subject tonight, but it's true. It's in the Word of God. You're spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Amen? So, God lives in your new recreated spirit. That's the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. Amen? Then there's your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, which is supposed to be the holy place. Amen, guys? Yeah. Amen, and girls. It's supposed to be the holy place. Amen, the soul. And then there's the body, the outer courts. Now, here's the point I want to make. God didn't want to be held up and cooped up in that most holy place forever. He wanted to flow out from there. Hallelujah. This is why the veil of the temple was torn in two. That veil that closed that most holy place from the rest of the temple and the rest of the world closed him up inside. That veil was torn in two from top to bottom. It was at the very exact moment that Jesus died, that he gave up the Spirit on the cross. This is so important. Mark 15, verses 37 and 38 says, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Amen? You have to get the pattern and the imagery here. It will help you understand who you are. He still doesn't want to be cooped up in there. He wants to come out of there. In the temple that Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, had a vision of, was never built, was never meant to be built, but it helped connect that Old Testament temple that was built to the temple today, who are you and me. Amen? And the connection, you've got to see this connection as Ezekiel talks about it. I'm just going to give you a few verses, but it's very powerful. But this presence of God, the glory of God, you see is flowing like a river out of the temple in every direction. That pattern didn't start in the temple. It started way back in the garden. in the Garden of Eden. You know, look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 with me. Genesis 2, verse 10, it says, "Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden." The garden was the place where God came down, met with man, fellowship with man. And then out of the garden, out of that fellowship, what happened? Let's read. There, the garden, it parted and became four river heads. Why four river heads? Because north, south, east, and west, four directions, showing that God loves all people everywhere. And He still does to this day. God loves all people everywhere, and that's still His will and His plan. Amen? And as we're reading here, this is the picture that I want you to get, that this is His plan, that we gather together, right, like we here are tonight. Amen? We come here, and it's like we come before God, we receive from God, He downloads into us, hallelujah. We hear His Word, we're built up in His Word, we're refreshed in His presence through worship, and then what do? We flow out of this place, and we take it with us everywhere we go. That's His plan, and it hasn't changed. Look at Ezekiel chapter 47. First of all, just to give you a New Testament fulfillment of this before we read Ezekiel, what did Jesus say in John 7? How many in here can raise their hand and say, "I believe on Jesus Christ"? How many here tonight say, "I believe on Jesus Christ"? Can I see your hand? Oh man, I am in great company tonight. Hallelujah. Well, I got a verse for you. John 7 verse 38 talks about you. It says, Jesus said, "He who believes in me," and that's all of you that just raised your hands, "as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his spirit will flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. Amen? Do you got it? Do you believe that word? I believe that word. I don't feel it though, brother. Just believe it. Amen? Ezekiel 47. Verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. This is the vision. God brought the prophet back. He said, "He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east." Flowing under the threshold of the temple. "For the front of the temple faced east, and water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar." It couldn't be held inside. It had to get out. It was flowing from under the threshold of the temple. Hallelujah. That's how it should be today. Well, we can't wait to get out and go somewhere where we work, where we study, where we live, where we shop, and let those rivers flow. Hallelujah. Amen? Verse 2, "He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side." Every direction, it's flowing. Go down to verse 8. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 47. "Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed.'" What's special about the seawater? What's characteristic about seawater? It's salty. Salt represents sin. So when the fresh water comes to the salt water, what happens when you mix fresh and salt water together? It all becomes salty. But not here. It's a supernatural work. So it's a picture of, are we supposed to influence the world, or is the world to influence us? Do we bring the world into the church, the salty waters, or are we doing what we're called to do and taking those fresh waters out and bringing healing to the salty water? Isn't that a great picture? "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live." I'm trying to get you to see who you are tonight. You got rivers flowing out of you. That's what Jesus said. Amen? "And wherever the rivers go," wow, "will live." It says, "there will be a great multitude of fish." Why? "Because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." Everything will live wherever the river goes. Glory to God. Amen. The glory and the temple always go together. You know, we have rivers. I remember many times when I land back in Istanbul, I come and I'm landing in Istanbul again. As soon as the wheels hit the runway, I say, "Devil, I'm back." And I brought my rivers with me. And I know other people have rivers too. Praise God, I'll join my rivers with theirs. Hallelujah. But we have powerful rivers inside of us. Amen? I remember standing one time in the police station, big police station, city of 22 million people, Istanbul, Turkey, and I'm standing in the police station, and there's like 1,000 people around me, and it's chaos. Everybody's pushing, shoving, trying to get served up to the counter there and everything, and I'm standing in this chaos. And I said, God, I'm your temple, I'm your house. I was meant for your glory, your presence, and right then, the Spirit of God came on me. And you know how your hair sometimes stands up on end and you get all, "Ooh, what's that?" You know, and I'm like, "Man, that's good." I'm standing in the middle of chaos being ministered to, being blessed by the presence of God. And I'm thinking all these people around me could know the same thing. They just lack knowledge. And I looked over and I saw a young man who was demon-possessed. You could tell, you know, people don't, demon-possessed people don't like to look you in the eye because it's the window to the soul and it stirs them up. I can tell you many stories where I've been in meetings and a couple of demon-possessed people in the back and they're like, you know, they don't want to look you in the eye, you know. Always makes me think of when I visited the San Diego Zoo and I got to the gorilla section and I had a sign that says, "Whatever you do, don't look the gorillas in the eye." You know what I did? I'm like this. Yeah. And so I thought to myself, I'm gonna see if I can get this guy to look me in the eye because I know what will happen. We'll have a scene right here. You want a scene in the middle of the Istanbul police station? I'm like, yeah, let's have a scene right here. Pick a fight. I could not get that guy to look me in the eye because I know I've got rivers inside of me. I'm not afraid. Amen? You shouldn't be afraid either. You got power inside of you. You got rivers inside of you. Amen? That's exciting to me. But the glory and the temple are always connected, except there's one exception. I want to show it to you because we can learn from it. When Ezekiel, the prophet, was in exile in another country, Ezekiel 8, verse 6, look at what happens here. He's 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. And in a vision, God shows him, opens up and says, and shows him that his first and most important commandment was being broken in the temple. "You must not have any other gods before me." What does that go back to? The love and the devotion we talked about. He's a jealous God. He wants all of our hearts. Amen? But they weren't doing it. They were worshiping other gods. They were giving their affections to other things. And look what happened. Ezekiel 8, verse 6, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see greater abominations.'" When Solomon was building the temple initially, and he initiated the temple, the first meeting, in 2 Chronicles, look what happened, chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Indeed, 2 Chronicles 5:13, God responded at the dedication of that temple with the honor of his presence, and he'll do it in your life too. Verse 13, "Indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever,' that the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." Hallelujah. Next verse. There was no chapters and verses in the original writing of this. It was all together. Very next verse. "Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in." How long? Forever. But forever ended on September 17th, 592 BC. That was the day that God spoke to Israel in that vision and said, "They make me go far away from my house." What is it? Why has that happened? Because our hearts, to various degrees, we've allowed ourselves to get distracted. We've allowed ourselves, our affections, to be set on other things and not first on God. You understand what I'm saying? Look, there's a story in the Old Testament. It's history. The Ark of the Covenant was a representation of the presence of God. And in a time when Israel was in war with other nations, they took that Ark of the Covenant and put it in the house of the high priest named Abinadab. And it was in the house of Abinadab for like 20 years. And it became a common thing, like a piece of furniture. And the kids played around it. They probably played cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians, whatever it was in their version of it, you know. But it became a common thing. But a day came when King David says, we're replacing this. We're putting it back to where it belongs. We're putting this presence of God, this Ark of the Covenant, back in its place where it belongs. And as they did, what happened? You know the story. It's going up the road and the oxen stumble and Uzzah reaches out his hand to catch it. And what happens? He dies. He falls dead. He's judged by God just for reaching out his hand and touching it. And David was so angry at God. God, you're hard. Why would you do something like... And he was so mad that he stopped the parade and he sent the Ark of the Covenant to the house of Obed-Edom. And the house of Obed-Edom was blessed inside out for the next 3 months. Everybody knew it. Even David heard about it. That the house of Obed-Edom, because the presence of God was in his house. That didn't happen in Abinadab's house. Now, why did it happen in Obed-Edom's house? Because you see what happened? Uzzah was the son of Abinadab. Think about that for a moment. Uzzah, the guy that reached out his hand, he was not long ago was playing around it, treating it as a common thing. And here's what I'm here to say is that in America, in the churches, in this nation, we have lost the fear of the Lord. Not to be afraid of God, but to properly revere and love Him and respect Him. And you follow what I'm saying? And honor Him in the way we should. And for that, we've become like the house of Abinadab. But God wants us to be like the house of Obed-Edom. Amen? And that's where He's trying to move us to. God wants to do something great in these last days. And I believe the greatest characteristic change will be as believers, all of us, begin to rise up and understand who we are in Him and what He wants to do through us. And that's why I'm talking about the picture, the image tonight with you, so you can get it and understand you're much more than you thought you were. Amen? Look, think about this for a minute. Romans 8:19 says, all of creation groans and travails. Why? What are they waiting for? The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Man, that verse is powerful. I love it in the Passion Translation. Listen to what the Passion Translation says. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. That's all of you sitting in this room tonight that know Him. And the more you step into that, the trees, you leave this place tonight and the glory of God's on you. The trees are clapping their hands. The birds are singing. All of creation is happy because of you and me. Because that sin's been removed and we're stepping into His glory and that presence of God is coming back upon us again. All creation is waiting. Hallelujah. And there's going to be, I'm going to end this by just giving you four quick things that we're going to see happen as the glory comes on us. And it's in the scripture that I'm going to show it to you. The first thing is that the Lord's going to shake our enemies before us and supernatural doors are going to open as His glory increases on our lives. You find it in Haggai chapter 2. Haggai says, in the latter days, he said, this latter house, this latter temple will be far more glorious than the former. He's talking about you and me. Amen? But look what he says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." That's what he's saying to you and me tonight. Be strong. Be strong. You have every right, every reason to be strong because of who you are. Amen? "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they will come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory." I will fill this temple. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Amen? And then you go down to verse 21. "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother." So there's going to be a shaking as the glory of God comes upon us again. Hallelujah. And supernatural doors are going to open, and God is going to deal with our enemies. Number two, the harvest will be drawn to you. The theme verse for this year's Holy Spirit Conference is Isaiah 60, verse 1. Many of you are familiar with it, but it's our theme verse. We're going to blast it everywhere. And it's this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." If you start out in Isaiah 53, that's the prophetic word of Jesus Christ dying for you on the cross to make you into a new creation and a new race of people, the righteous. And everything after that changes, beginning with Isaiah 54. It's powerful. You read it. One of the verses says, "You will dispossess nations and settle their desolate cities." Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, Isaiah 58, I read on the video tonight, that we will be repairers of the breach, the restorers of streets to walk in. That's our call. That's the mandate on the church. But here in Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord..." Are we in that day? "Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." Have you ever seen a level of deception on the people of our nation as we see it today, that nobody even knows what a woman is? You can't say boy or girl, or you'll be penalized? Are you kidding me? Where have we come to? Deception. "Deep darkness, the people. But listen, as the dark gets darker, the light gets brighter." That's the good news. "But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, the non-believers, will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side." Amen? So the lost will be drawn to us. The third thing is that there will be a great increase of miracles and healings and signs and wonders. Like we saw in Ezekiel, wherever those rivers flow, the other waters are healed. There's healing brought. Amen? And then lastly, as the glory increases in our lives, our ability increases to hear His voice and to obey Him. We see this in Isaiah. In the beginning of Isaiah 6, he talks about the glory filling the temple. And you get to verse 8, and he says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." Wow. It doesn't say the Lord asked Isaiah the question, but he was able, because of that glory filling the temple, to hear what was spoken in heaven and responded to it. As the glory fills your house, you're going to hear things spoken in heaven. Hallelujah. And you're going to respond and say, "Here I am. Send me." Amen? I believe all of us want to see the enemy shaken and the enemy stopped and more supernatural doors open. Amen? We want to see the harvest drawn in like never before. I do. And then more miracles and healings and signs and wonders. You know, we've been hearing this for a long time, and so we're out here looking for it. We're looking in the wrong place. We got to look here. God, bring me to that place where your glory can flow. We want to hear God's voice more clearly than before, amen, ever before. And I believe that's a word for us tonight. You have rivers. And wherever you work, wherever you study, wherever you shop, you're taking those rivers with you. Hallelujah. You're His voice, His eyes, His touch. Amen. And Holy Spirit, I pray He makes that clear to you tonight more than ever before. Amen. That there's rivers inside of you. Let's all stand together. I believe as I remember a scene back when I was in Bible school like 30, 40 years ago. I was in Central Florida, and this little guy named Julio from Puerto Rico came in the middle of the semester. He couldn't hardly speak English. And he and I went to church the first night together in this mega church. It was the biggest church in Lakeland, Florida at the time, First Assembly of God. And there's all these pews and all these people, and he and I walked in. It was early, and as soon as we walked in, he kneels down at the pew and starts praying. And I'm like, what's wrong with you, Julio? What? I said, what are you doing? He said, brother, we're about to enter the presence of God. I'm like, yeah, but why do you have to do that? You know, we're all slapping each other. Hey, how's it going? Did you do your homework? Blah, 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 blah. But I never forget that picture. I'll never forget that picture. There's a change that has to happen in the church today, where there's a greater honoring and revering of God, of His power, His glory, His presence, that we wouldn't dare do anything unless we knew it was Him. You follow me? God, I want your presence in my life. I want your glory back in my life again. Is that what you want? That's what I'm praying. You may not even fully understand it, but it's true. I gave you God's word on it tonight. Amen? You are His house. You are His temple. If you know Him, if you believe on Him, Jesus said, out of your heart, rivers. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word that has gone forth. We thank you for knowledge and understanding. We pursue it, Lord God. We want it. We want you in our lives more than we want pizza. We want you in our lives more than we want any other thing in our lives. More than that affair, cheating on the spouse, more than anything, more than my own pleasures in this life. I want your presence. I want your glory. I need your presence, Lord. I was made for this. We were made for this, Lord God. And I just speak it over every person in the name of Jesus, as though I'm laying my hand on every person in this room tonight. A release of those rivers. I speak a greater release of those rivers, that wherever they work and live, visiting relatives, spending time with people, God, I pray that let the rivers flow. I pray for a release right now in the name of Jesus of the mighty rivers of God from inside of us, Lord. Lead us in wisdom. In Jesus' name. That our eyes remain on you and not man. God, our eyes are on you. Fill us tonight with your glory. Fill this house with your glory and your presence. In the name of Jesus. Kurapasi lamando kunai. Non dandanglangai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we want to wake up every morning with that in mind, that we are your house We've got rivers today flowing out of us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. How many love God here? How many think we should show how much we love God? Let's do it then, okay? It's not that complicated, right? We're all just sons and daughters dancing with our Father. Hallelujah. Woo! Well, I'm happy to be here. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. That's my favorite time of the week. I live for this stuff. I love you guys, and I love spending time with you and spending time with the Father. It's just like, great. It's better than anything I ever experienced in my life. And I went down a lot of wrong roads, but I tell you, this is a right road. This is a right road. Hanging out with God, receiving His Word, walking in love. Oh, it's so good. And we got this great pastor, too, I'm telling you. Feeds us, fills us up.
So we just sang a song that said, oh God, I need you. Do you cry that out to Him? Do you ask Him to be with you, to help you, to guide you, and to do everything that you need in your life? Do you cry out to God and say, God, I need you? And more than that, we sang about signs and wonders and miracles. Do you see signs and wonders and miracles in your lives? If you don't, why? If you don't, why? Are you still praying for the same things over and over and over again and not seeing anything happen? Again, if so, why? Are you expecting miracles in your life? Are you expecting signs and wonders? Are you sharing who God is, who Jesus Christ is in your life with people who need to know Him? Because if you're not, those signs and wonders aren't going to follow you. They're not going to follow you. I want signs and wonders to follow me. And I'm telling you, I see them following me. I want miracles to come in and through me. And I see them happening in and through me. And I'm not saying that in a way to glamorize or glorify myself. It's Him that's doing it. It's Him that's doing it. Because He's honoring what He says in His Word. So each and every one of us here should be seeking signs and wonders. Each and every one of us should be seeking miracles in our lives, and we should be seeing them. I've seen miracles in my own life. I have come back from the dead. I actually had two times that the Lord saved me from dying. I had a stroke one day, and I was healed within hours and walked onto a plane and went home completely healed. I know what it means to see miracles in my life. Do you? You want to surround yourself as well with people who believe the same way that you do. And you want to believe every word that the Word says. Every word that's in that Bible is true. 100%. So you should be seeking miracles. You should be seeking signs and wonders. And you should be doing what the Word says and sharing the Word with people who need to know Him.
Take a moment and pray and agree with Larry and Laura on this rebuild project that they're doing. And $500,000 might be a lot to most of us in the room, or might even be out of our reach personally. But with the Lord, it's an easy thing. With the Lord, nothing's too difficult for Him. And so we're going to take scripture, and we're going to pray out, and we're going to agree and ask the Lord for these things. And I've asked Larry, Larry, if you would come and share with us a scripture that you are believing God on.
Amen.
On.
Isaiah 58, verse 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. I told you that the
first reached area of the world, where foundations were laid by Paul and Peter and others, is now the least reached place. He says here, you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Amen.
Amen. My first trip into Turkey is I'm flying in the airplane and I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord what He wants to do in the nation. And I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw all these storms come to the land. And like I was looking at a map with all these different storms over the nation. I knew that those storms didn't represent just natural storms, but they were political things. They were, you know, all the different upheavals that were coming to the land, with an earthquake being one of them. And as I saw that, the Lord said to me, He said, just like the gospel went forth from the nation in the early days, so it will go forth again from that nation. And so what Larry is doing, you've been a seed into that land. That seed's going to bring forth a harvest. And not only will what you're doing there be used in that nation, like you've already said, your heart is to reach the whole region, other nations, the surrounding nations. And so the rebuild project that they're doing just fits perfectly into those things that the Lord has put on their heart and on our heart. Laura, come. Did you...
And I believe God's going to remove things and He's going to put things in place just to open a door right now for this season. And I need your agreement, amen, that what we have in our heart, what He put in us, the doors will open and we'll be able to fulfill those things, amen. We have a role to play, a part to play in them, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, Father, I thank You that Your word does not return to You void, but it accomplishes what You send it to do. And Lord, You have sent them to repair the broken places, the waste places. And we know that it's a vast place, but Lord, Your grace is more than able to accomplish these things. Lord, I call upon Your grace to come up within Larry and Kay and Laura and those that You've surrounded them with. And Father, I ask You to bring even more financial partners to them. Lord, that every need is met, that all the things that You've put in their heart would be accomplished. Lord, I thank You that $500,000 would come in quickly. We call it in the name of Jesus. We call this land bought and paid for, the citizenship finished. And Lord, I thank You that You then bring people along to build the project, to grow it, and that it will bring forth, be used in the kingdom, and bring forth a harvest as You've imagined it, in Jesus' name. And amen. We do serve a God of miracles, and we will see it come to pass. Well, one way that we love God in this house is we love on each other. So when the service is so-called dismissed, there's really no dismissals because ministry continues to go on, right? You check in on each other. You say, how are you doing? Is there something I can pray with you for? And so take the time to fellowship with one another after the service and be a blessing to each other. Amen. We'll be right back.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Church of the Word International. It's so great to see each and every one of you. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Amen. Unless a man is born again, they shall not see the kingdom of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For God so loved you, just say that, God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What a beautiful promise that is. For it is by grace that you are saved, through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, and not of your works, lest anyone should boast. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Family, God the Father gave each and every one of us the most precious gift ever, and that was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else in this world pales in comparison. In fact, it can't even compare to the beautiful, priceless, eternal gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through me. These are eternal words spoken to whosoever would believe these words, eternal words from the Father, because he created you to be a part of his kingdom and his family for all eternity. So tonight, if you heard the incorruptible seed, the word of God, and you don't know if you're born again, and you don't know if you would die tonight, that you would step over into eternity, today, tonight is your night. You came for a reason. It's not a coincidence that you happened to come in this church tonight. It's because the Father drew you by his Holy Spirit, and he's drawing your heart and your soul into his kingdom because he loved you from the foundations of the earth. He called you by name, and you're feeling that. You're sensing that in your spirit. Even now as I'm saying these words, you've come tonight because the Father wants you to belong to him. So as the night goes on, or if you're even sitting there right now and your heart is being stirred that this is the truth and it's for me, this is your time. Don't harden your heart if you hear the truth tonight. Say yes and step into the kingdom of God so that you know for all of eternity you'd be with your Creator. Amen. So we're going to stand up and we're going to praise the Lord. And I can't think of a better thing to praise God the Father for than the precious gift that he gave us, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So family, let's stand up. Remember the moment you got born again. Remember the moment you stepped over and was translated from the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. And from your heart, thank God the Father that he called you by name and draws you into his kingdom. And you have that blessed assurance in your heart that you belong to the Father. He is worthy of our praise, isn't he? Glory to God. Let's hear a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. That's a promise. There's no maybe attached to it, but it's a bona fide promise that the Lord has given, and he will always be where his children are gathered. So in light of that, let's just take a moment and let's pray and let's talk to him. Father, I thank you that you have your spirit here with us tonight, that you are with us, that you promise to never leave us and never forsake us. And Father, we present ourselves to you to worship your name, to exalt you, to lift up the name of Jesus above every other thing that can be named. And Father, we invite you to have your way in this meeting tonight, that your will would be done, that your kingdom come. Lord, we yield ourselves, our times, our agenda, our thoughts to you in a way that would be pleasing to you. And we invite you to have your way and your will, and that your anointing will open up the word for us to understand it. Lord, that by your Spirit you will bring revelation to us and understanding into our minds, that we would go out different than how we came in. Lord, I thank you for freedom in this house. I thank you, Lord, for eyes to see as you want us to see. I thank you, Lord, that you give us ears to hear like you want us to hear. Lord, open our ear to the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we take authority in the name of Jesus over every principality and power, over every spirit that does not worship the Lord Jesus. And we bind you, and you have no place here tonight. And we loose the power of God, the peace of God, the Spirit of God in this meeting tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you will be glorified. Someone say, Jesus is glorified.
Jesus is glorified.
I want to encourage you with a psalm. I was looking at this today. It says this, the righteous one. Who are the righteous ones? It's those who have made Jesus the Lord of their life, that have been washed in the blood. And we have been made his righteousness, is what Scripture tells us. So that makes us the righteous ones. Not our own righteousness, but in his. It says, the righteous one rejoices in the Lord. The righteous one rejoices in the Lord and takes refuge in him. Listen to this next line. All, someone say all. All those who are upright in heart will offer praise. All those who are upright in heart will offer praise. So if you're one of the righteous ones, and that would make you upright in heart, right? We will have praise to offer to the Lord. And if you say, well, nothing great has happened in my life today, well, there's something great. You're alive.
That's right.
You're alive. You have life, and we can rejoice in life. We can rejoice that we have another day to celebrate our King, our soon and coming King. Let's just practice right now and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Today we're going to be keeping the children in the service, as it is our fifth weekend meeting of the month. And so we have all the children will be staying with their parents. So we just invite you to... It's a family service tonight. The nursery is still open if you're needing that. And let's take a moment, and I want you to think of something in your life that you're grateful for, something that you are glad about. The gift of children, that's right. What's something you're glad about? Some of you need to tell your face if you're glad about it. What's something you're glad about? And now what I would like for you to do is we're going to take a small break, and you can tell each other hello, but I want you to share something you're glad about with your neighbor. Let's allow thankfulness to well up in this house, and let's build on that. Let's go forward as all those righteous ones in gratefulness.
Well, good evening again to you all. It's good to see so many new faces here in the house. Always good to have visitors and new people to get to know. So we would just like to welcome you here. If this is your first time, can you raise your hand so we can just see who you are and give a little hand clap? Here's some. There's a family here in the back. Let's give them a good welcome clap. Thank you for coming out tonight. We trust you'll be blessed. And I believe our ushers have some information cards that they're passing out. So if you'd like to, not that you have to, but if you'd like to, you could fill it out and just put it in the offering basket. If you need an envelope for your cash giving, you can raise your hand and the ushers will bring one to you. If you're giving by check, you can make it out to Church of the Word International or CWI. That's quicker. And if you're giving by credit card, you can do that also. Just fill out all of the blanks. And we're going to return the tithe to the Lord because we love Him. We want to honor Him. Amen? We want to honor the Lord. But I want to speak to you tonight about the matter, as Paul put it, the matter of giving and receiving. You know, it's both. It's a matter of giving and receiving. He says that in Philippians chapter 4. And I think what's pretty well known or understood, we have a responsibility on the sowing side of that. We all understand the implication, the responsibility is on us to be sowing. Did you know you have a responsibility on the receiving side of that as well? You do. Some people think that God's just going to do it all. It's just going to fall upon you. You know, I did my part, and now we sit back and... You know, with this sowing and reaping thing, this mirrors the natural. So if you think about it from the natural side of things, if we go out and we plant some corn in our garden, what do? We go out there and we just plant our corn, dust off our hands, come in and sit down, and then all of a sudden, voila, there is an ear of corn sitting on my counter. Wow, that was nice. Oh, it doesn't work that way. Oh, so we have to do, you know, we got to believe that those sprouts are going to come up. We maybe have to water, maybe have to pull some weeds. Oh, and then we have to go out and harvest it. We have to bring it in. It doesn't walk itself to my kitchen table. We'll turn to Galatians chapter 6. It's not all up to God. We have a responsibility in it. So I wanted to start reading in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." So if the scripture tells us, don't be deceived, what I should automatically understand is this is a point upon which I could be deceived. Why else tell me, hey, don't be deceived? Watch out for this, because I might. So don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, I like how the King James says it. It says, whatsoever a man sows, he shall also reap. Whatever. Did you catch the whatsoever? What's included in whatsoever? Everything. Not just finances. Not just, and that's anything in your life. It applies to every realm. You're in a harvest right now. You've experienced harvests in the past. And you're going to have a harvest in the future. What you're doing right now is producing that harvest. You can look back at your life and think about some harvests you've experienced in the past. But, you know, what you're experiencing right now is all going to be dependent on, well, what kind of measure you were using. If you change up that measure, if you change up that seed, I'm going to have a different harvest. I'm going to have a different harvest tomorrow, dependent upon what I'm doing right now. So there's some responsibility even in that. You deciding, you get to decide what measure, like it says in Luke, says, whatever measure you use, that's the measure going to be measured back to you in Luke chapter 6. So verse 8 says, whoever sows to please their flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So right there is responsibility number one. We have a responsibility to sow to please the Spirit, not so to please the flesh. Say it a different way. We have a responsibility to be led by the Spirit of God and not be led by your flesh. If you want a good harvest. I mean, if you want a bad harvest, well, go ahead. You know, sow stuff to make a bad harvest and have a miserable life. But I think we all would want a good harvest. So you're going to sow to please the Spirit. And that, so that, just think about, you know, every word I'm saying, every action I'm taking, you know, every time I go to spend my money, whatever I'm doing in life, is it to please my flesh or is it to please the Spirit? What's leading me? That's going to produce a harvest, and that's a responsibility on my end. Verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Again, the implication is we might be, you could be, get weary. You could get tired of doing good. But he says here, let us not become weary in doing good. So that's responsibility number two. Don't quit. Don't get weary of doing the right thing. Don't say, oh, well, it's not, I haven't seen any fruit of it, so I'm just going to quit. Well, you're for sure going to not get the good harvest you've been working towards. So responsibility to receiving your harvest, a good harvest, is don't give up. Keep on doing the right things. And then it says here, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up in due season. There's a due season. Amen? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we see several things here that we have responsibilities for on the receiving end of that. And really, you could say this too, we have a responsibility to stay in faith. It's faith and action. James says that faith without works is dead. It won't produce anything. And you say, well, I have actions. I'm going to do all this good stuff, but I'm going to believe it won't work. Well, you're also going to, that's not going to produce either. It's both. You need the action. You need the seed, whether it be financial seeds, whether it be possessions, whether it be in relationships. You need the action, you need the seed, and your faith is the activator. Do you believe it will work? You know, do you believe nothing will change them? I mean, yeah, I'm going to be nice to them, but nothing's, they're impossible. Okay, all right, you're going to get exactly what you believe. Do you see this? See, it can work to the negative too. If you continue to sow to the flesh and you don't get tired of that and you don't give up on sowing to the flesh and just serving that, and if you have faith, well, faith isn't the right term, but you know, faith to the negative, if you believe it's bad, your situation's impossible, your situation's past help, and that's what you believe and you have faith for that, you're going to produce that negative harvest. So it works on both sides. That's why the scripture says, whatever you believe, whatever you sow. Because see, you're going to sow what's in your heart. You're going to have corresponding actions to what you believe. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. So don't quit. Don't let go of your faith. Keep sowing to the Spirit, because due season is coming. Amen. All right, take a hold of your tithe and your offerings, and let's present that to the Lord. Father, we're so thankful for you tonight that you meet all of our needs. We're thankful, Lord, that you love us and you watch over us. And we just, as part of our worship, we present the tithe to you. And we thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sake. Lord, I thank you for the provision for Kevin and Kelly's vehicle challenge right now. I thank you that you have an answer on the way, and we call that need met according to your word. Lord, I just thank you that you bless these tithers because you said so. You've said you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing beyond what we can receive, more than we can receive. We thank you for being so good to us in this way, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And the ushers can pass the baskets, and the people will give to the Lord. All right, a couple of things to mention in the bulletin. Tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be having a service in Richmond, Virginia. It will be Apostle Dale Armstrong bringing the word. I know it says Larry Mills, but he's ministering in Delaware, I believe, if I have that correctly. So Dale Armstrong will be preaching in Richmond tomorrow at 2 p.m. Tomorrow evening, we have our youth and young adult gathering at the Burroughs home. I know that they're all looking forward to that. You know, you can sign up if you'd like to host the youth. You can just talk to Josh and Alicia and be able to have all the youth at your house for an evening. And yeah, it's fun. We had a blast when we had the youth at our place. So just putting that out there that that's an opportunity. If you are graduating high school or college or something else like that this spring, please let us know. You can let Debbie know. We'd like to celebrate you, mention you. CityGate, that's coming up soon, so we have a sign-up sheet in the lobby. Is that right, or we're not sure about that? All right, so if you are going to CityGate or would like to go to CityGate, please talk to Karen Burroughs, and she will give you the information. I just wanted to say the kids did a fantastic job last week in staying in the designated areas. You guys did great. Thank you so much. Good job, kids. One last thing before I turn the time over to Pastor Sid is the Armada Landmark. If you'll notice in the bulletin, we have it, the dates here. It says June 19th through the 23rd. It's actually June 12th through the 16th. So I'm sure we'll make that change, but I just wanted to point that out, giving you a heads up. All right, Pastor Sid.
Good evening again. We are going to take our missions offering here in just a moment. So if you're, do we have the ushers with us? Okay, we'll wait a little bit. And we'll hand out envelopes for that. And I'll just talk a little bit as a reminder about why we're doing what we're doing. So we take a special offering once a month, the last service of every month, and we call that our missions offering. And so any monies that you want to go to anywhere in the world, just designate that where you want it to go, and 100% of it will get passed on to those organizations. If you're writing out a check in the memo field, just write down who it goes to. If you're using the envelopes and doing credit cards, again, just write on there who it goes to. Or if you're doing cash in an envelope, same way, just write on there who you'd like it to go to. If you do not designate it, then it will go into the general mission fund and be distributed from there to the different needs that we are constantly supporting. So we have, we can no longer say, look up at the flags around the room. Eventually we'll be able to say that again. But right now, you have to just remember all the different places that we have been investing our lives and our money, our time and our energy. We have been, had our fingers in many different countries in the world, and you do realize that when you partner with these people, wherever they're at and the work that they're doing, that the Lord credits to your account what's happening there when you partner with them financially. And so don't disengage or disconnect from the fact that you're doing something that has eternal value. You're doing something that isn't just going to pass away overnight. And there's an eternal harvest for that as well. I was out running today, and I was talking to the Lord as I'm running and asking Him, because I knew that we were going to do this offering tonight, the missions offering like we normally do. And I was asking, Lord, is there any particular scripture that you'd like for me to read and encourage them with? And yeah, He brought to me the exact verses Jen read tonight. So she's already covered it, so I won't go into all the detail on it, but what I do want to encourage you with is, you know, when you give to someone because you like them or because you just have sympathy for them, or maybe it's because they're your friend, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's giving to the flesh. And what happens is that ends up decaying. You know, when you give something to someone just because they're your friend, in time, they will eventually forget about that gift. It might be 10 years, it might be way down the road, but the thanksgiving for that gift slowly decays away. And it's like all things flesh, it's not lasting. But when you give to your friend, or any other place for that matter, but you do it as to the Lord, you do it, Lord, I'm doing this to you, and yeah, I know this person is the one receiving it. When you do it that way, suddenly it has eternal consequences that are attached to it. And some of those consequences are blessing for you in this life and the next. No, we don't purchase rewards in heaven, but how many know that there are rewards in heaven, right? So ushers, if you are back with us again, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand and they'll bring one to you. And you say, maybe some of you that are with us for the first time are wondering, well, how come they run it through the church when they could all just send it directly to the organizations? The reason that we do that is because one time I was figuring up what we had personally done in a year's time in our missions giving. And okay, so yeah, it was a nice sum for me, but it didn't seem like much, because it's just one person's. And I began thinking, well, I wonder what we do as a church collectively. What is going out from this house, from our finances, because that represents your time and your value. And so what's going out from this house? So we decided, let's make that available to everyone, that you can just give it through the church. All of it gets passed on. And then at our annual missions meeting, which happens at the end of July every year, we go over, here's what we did last year, here's what we're believing God to do next year. The only thing I would ask you to do is, if you give it and designate it to someone, if you do not want the receiving end to know who gave it, write down that you want to stay anonymous. Otherwise, we will tell them who it came from so that they can draw lines. Maybe you've made commitments to the organization saying, we're going to support you. And then they'll know that you're keeping your word when it shows up, a check shows up from Church of the Word. All right, take a hold of your missions giving and let's pray over it. Father, I thank you that you watch over your word to accomplish it, and that you promise that your word will not return void, and that, Lord, as we sow, we shall reap. And Lord, we look to you as our harvest. We look to you as the one that is bringing in the good things into our life. And Father, we send this money into the kingdom to do the work that it was is designated by your will to do. And I ask you to meet every need at all of these places where the money is going, and that you would give them wisdom to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and that name of Jesus would be lifted up and glorified at all these places, in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, the ushers can wait on the people, and the people will give to the Lord. And why do we always say that? Because it's important that you always have your focus on Him when you give and not on the people around you.